Welcome back to Horror and Heels. I'm Alicia.
I'm Jen.
And
talking about a classic today.
Super classic. I'm going to be honest with you guys. Thought we were doing Finals Girls this week.
But no, we were supposed to. It was my fault. It was all me.
Was it? Oh, I was like, I really felt like I went over this like 3 times.
No, it was my, that's why I said, that was why I was like, holy hell. Because I was like, I messed up.
Oh, I thought I messed up. I thought no, you were like, holy hell, Alicia, we went over this enough times.
No, it was whole, no, I would never say that to you like that. No, if it had been your fault, I'd be like, oh, well, no, it was supposed to be that. I would have said something different. Holy hell was at me. Because I was like, oh, man, I did it again.
It's so fine.
Yeah.
It's fine because the other movie on the docket, it's such a classic and such a watched movie for me. The head actress, Felicia, is actually has become good friends with a dear friend of mine. I feel very connected to this movie, and we are talking Sleepaway Camp.
Sleepaway Camp.
And if you haven't seen it, you're missing out.
Yeah. You need, this is one where you need to, like, do not listen to this episode if you have not seen it, because this twist, you cannot.
You do not want to spoil. And honestly, these kills are so good and so imaginative. The killer does not rely on one singular weapon, which no. I really found to be a great twist on the slasher genre. Because up until this time in the slasher genre, now I did like how they did it very original. Friday the 13th, you don't know who the killer is until
the
end. Love that. Always love that.
And you really have no idea.
You have no idea. But unlike any of your other slashers who had one instrument that they used the whole movies, this killer is quite inventive. And they used what was at their disposal. And I appreciate that in a person. So
yes. Resourcefulness.
Love resourcefulness.
Very resourceful. So this, this just watches, like, there's so many layers and so many things that you don't catch the first time you're watching it. It opens at a camp. Well, actually, the credits are going over an abandoned camp. So, and then it stops on a for sale sign. So then it switches over to this day camp, and you see his dad having a boat day with his 2 kids, his daughter and his son. And these teens are on a boat, and they're messing around trying to water ski with the boat. So one of the girls is on the water skiing, and you can see this is going to go bad, but you don't know how, but you know that something's going to go bad. So the guy lets the girl take a hold of the motorboat. They end up talking, and the girl that's water skiing is yelling. She's like, stop the boat. There's people. I don't know why they were heading, first of all, because the dad and the kids were so close to the shore. Right, I don't know where they were going on that boat, why they were heading so fast towards the land. The boat.
Not a single rule of boating was being followed on that boat. So are we really that shocked they were that close to the land?
Yeah.
Also, wake rules would prohibit you from going more than 5 miles an hour that close, even where they were. Originally, they were too close to be water skiing.
Yeah.
I take this as a woman whose father water skied while she was growing up. I know where we had to boat to. Like, I'm awares. So I was too young to do it, but I remember being on the boat and being quite a ways from everything. Because of the wake, etc., that is necessary. The speed of the boat that is necessary to properly water ski. There are very specific, very stringent rules. Even back in the 80s, there were rules.
I think, and they tried to make it make sense with having him let the girl who does not have a boat. Like, it was his boat, and then he lets the girl drive, and then she's the one who messes up. But still, like you said, they still shouldn't have even been anywhere around that area.
And once again, if you're going to let somebody who doesn't have a boating license drive, hey, Sarah said it. She in Shark Night, she jokes with Nick and she's like, you want to drive it? And she pushes it into high gear and she sees his face and she goes, nope, you're not ready.
Yeah.
She knows.
Yeah, yeah.
She was like, I'll let you drive this when we're going 2 miles an hour. That's when you can drive this. More bad.
You can steer it as it floats somewhere. How about that?
Yes. That's what my father used to let me do.
Yeah.
Yes.
This, it's so funny because the boat, it's not graphic, but you can tell that the dad and the children were hit by this motorboat.
Right.
And the way that the scene plays out, the girl is crying that was water skiing is screaming very annoyingly. But there's a man on the shore and he just goes, John. And then he's just standing there and he just stares. And I'm like, is anybody going to call for help? Is anybody going to go check on them or anything? Nope, they're all just standing and staring. And it's so awkward. And you're like, who is this guy? Then they fast forward. Did it say how many years later? I don't remember. But fast forward to a house and we see a woman. I love this actress.
Oh, she plays crazy fantastic. Oh, my
gosh. And she just
pops her rocker.
The way she talks is she's just looking off in his face like, oh no, that won't do. That won't do at all. It's so creepy. She was so good.
She's like doing their physical because apparently she's a doctor. That's not weird at all. Also, that's not against state licensing boards at all.
Yeah, well, that's what she said. She was like, don't tell them how you got your physicals. And you see Angela come down, and then Richard is her son, which I have to say, Ricky is one of my favorite horror movie characters of all time. Like, he's such a gem. I love him so much. He's so protective of his cousin. He does not let anybody give her shit. Like,
no. And let me tell you, some kids at that camp were trying to give her some shit.
For no reason. Like,
no.
It amazes me how people just can't even let people mind their own business.
Right. It's not like she's over here antagonizing anybody.
No, she doesn't say a word. And they're just picking on her. But anyway, so she sends Ricky and Angela to camp. And we have a weird pedophile scene. Like the chef guy is like checking out these kids. And you're just like, really? And the rest of the staff is like laughing it off. Like, ha ha. And it's the weirdest scene ever. And you're just like, okay, that's quite cringe. But all right, it's the 80s, whatever.
Well, here's the thing I want to say. Not a single person who got it in this movie didn't deserve to get it.
That is true. Yep.
Everybody. You hated every victim.
Everybody that died. Yeah, that is true. This is one of the few horror movies where you're happy to see everybody go.
You were like, yup, nope, you earned that. You earned that. You earned that.
Yeah.
Which, it's interesting when you watch it back, you really see, like, just how, because you all know all these people are horrible people, but then it gets worse and worse, and you're like, especially the cook, you're like, so fucking problematic. Why would you keep him employed? Like, it's horrible.
Yeah, it's disgusting, and you're just like, and I was so uncomfortable. I was like, oh, okay, I don't know about this movie, but let's continue, because it's good. Creepy scene. So the kids are, you know, coming into camp. They're eating in the cafeteria. One of the counselors realizes Angela's being, like, Angela hasn't said a word. So Angela's been, we saw her come down the stairs. The crazy mom's talking. Ricky's talking. Angela's not said a word. It's camp. Angela's still not saying anything to anybody. And she's not eating, apparently. So one of the counselors, another great guy. Love this counselor. He takes her to the kitchen and asks the chef, which, he's obviously not aware that the chef is a creep ass. How he's not aware of this, I don't know. But
as who have been his first year at the camp.
Yeah, because I'm looking at that man, you can tell. And they're all dirty. Like when they show them, like their uniforms are dirty. I'm like, there have been no kids here. Why are your uniforms dirty?
Right.
So he leaves Angela with him, goes back out to the mess hall. My guy Ricky comes out and he's like, where's Angela? And someone's like, oh, the counselor took her to the kitchen so the chef could get her some food. Ricky immediately is like, I got to go make sure she's all right. So he runs to the back of the kitchen. Meanwhile, the chef is about to try to be nasty with the girl. And Ricky comes in screaming. He's like, what are you doing? And then the chef basically threatens Ricky. He's like, don't you tell anybody. And then Ricky grabs Angela and they run out of the kitchen. So
Ricky is a ride or die.
He's like the best. I love him so much. So this is, this is where the first kill comes in. So after they leave, I don't remember what happens exactly right after they leave, but next scene, the chef's in the kitchen cooking this big ass pot of food, of soup or whatever it is. I don't know what it is, but whatever it is going to be ruined because the pot is like 5 feet tall. So all the soup at the bottom is going to be burned and none of the soup at the top is going to be cooked. So it's going to be, I don't know why they thought this was a good idea. It's a horrible pot.
Yeah, that's like the type of pot used to like boil lobsters and stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense because all the water is going to boil and you can cook everything.
Yeah.
Soup or anything else, that's not going to cook correctly. You can't even stir it. Like, you can't even get up there. He tries because he has to get on a ladder. And he's a big dude, but he has to get on a ladder to try to get to the top. So he's in there by himself. He gets up on the ladder to try to do something. And all of a sudden we see from the point of view, some hands just push him. And he looks back and he's like, oh, it's you. What are you doing here? And then he grabs the shelf and the hands, you can tell that they're trying to knock him down. And they eventually do. And this whole big old pot or whatever it was he was cooking falls right on him.
Yep.
And the special effects, the makeup, the burn, his face is all burnt and his hands are burnt. He's sitting there screaming. You can see one of the blisters like pulsing. It's pretty gross.
Yeah. I do enjoy a pulsating blister.
A pretend pulsating
blister. Just lovely.
And then he's just standing there screaming and he gets found, obviously. And the police come with the ambulance and the owner is really trying to be like, can we hurry this up? And gives zero fucks, which is fine because he was a creep ass anyway, so it doesn't matter. Right. Nobody cares that he got damn near killed or wishes he was dead. He probably did want to be dead.
Yeah.
So they really ignore it and he's taken off to the hospital. Owner's still trying to keep the camp together. He doesn't want the parents getting upset, so he's trying not to tell anybody. He gives the kitchen staff a raise.
Right.
And so then we're back to the camp, which, watching this again, I was like, wow, they're really like normal campers here. Like, there's normal kids, there's normal counselors.
And I mean, that kill or that injury in particular very much looked like an accidente.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he was on that ladder reaching for something and things went very bad. So I could understand from the head guy's point of view, like, hey, I'm not 100% sure foul play was involved. Why involve anybody, you know?
Yeah.
Especially because that guy was a little creepy. I don't know that I would believe anything he said.
Yeah. Like, and I'd be like, well, good, one pedophile down.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know that I would be so pulsed to try to save that individual in any way.
So the first kill of this movie is like the number one horrible person in the whole movie.
Right.
So you're already like, okay, cool. He didn't last very long because that's a storyline we don't need in a movie.
Right.
That's
not to say that any of these other people are fabulous.
No, not by any stretch of the imagination.
Yeah. Just the worst of the worst. But, well, now we see it's just the next day. Ricky and Angela are just walking around. She starts to get teased by...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Because they're making fun of her for not talking. And this one Judy bitch.
Oh, Judy, you a bitch.
Judy's such a bitch. Like, it really bothers her that Angela's just not talking. I'm like, how does someone not saying anything bother you that much?
Yeah.
How does just her very existence bother you?
Oh, to answer your questions, it's 8 years after the boating accident.
That's what I thought. But then I thought I got that from Silent Night, Deadly Night, because I watched that last week. And I was like, wait, was that on that Silent Night, Deadly Night? Yeah, I thought it was 8 years. Okay. So they did show, I skipped over that. In the beginning, when the man and his kids got hit, you did see that one of them survived.
Right.
So just the dad and one of the kids was killed. And
Penny and Mike start mocking her. Ricky and his best friend, Paul, fight them. Counselor Gene, and that's the nice counselor, he intervenes.
Oh, that's when they were in the like mess hall. And we got that beautiful hair flip. I love the hair. If you haven't watched it, go back and watch it. And Ricky does his hair flip when the counselor like tries to get him away from the guys. And every time they pick on Angela, Ricky's there to yell at people. He cusses people out like a sailor.
She is very good.
Who? What?
He is a very good cursor. Yes.
Oh, yes. I thought you said she. No, I was like, no, I said Ricky. Ricky's amazing. He's like an artist when it comes to cussing people out. For a little kid, he's so angry. He's like an old man. He gets so pissed so quickly. So, oh, then we see kids going out for a swim at night. The guys are trying to get the girls to come into the water. They don't go. One of the guys who was teasing Angela earlier ends up in a boat. Huh?
Kenny.
Ends up in a boat with one of the girls, and it was a prank. So he flips the boat over. She goes and swims away, and then he's under the boat by himself. And then all of a sudden, you see someone come up out of the water, and it's the killer. And Kenny goes, oh, what are you doing here? I'm sure the guys would love to know that you're here. And then all the next thing we know, he's been drowned.
Yes. And unlike the cop, he is whoosh. Unlike Chefy Chef Chef, he is dead. And this time, the cops are not buying Mel's insistence that the death was accidental.
Yeah.
Oh. Holding on tight, gotta have,
Yeah.
You can't have respect for Mel or love for Mel. What could we have for Mel? I mean, he has the tenacity and the fortitude and the...
Yeah, I don't even know what to call it.
Keep going.
I don't even know what to call it, to be honest.
Yes. Because, I mean, this is two people in 2 days.
Yeah, at this point, we just got to call a spade a spade. Like, what are we doing here? This was another one. I love the counselor. The counselor's all pissy. Like, everybody in this movie is pretty angry. The counselor, when he finds the body, which this is another cool looking. All the deaths in this look pretty cool. Like, the body has a snake coming out of the mouth.
Right.
And it looks pretty real. Like, for the budget that you think that they have, because it looks like a low-budget movie, they spent money on their effects.
Yes.
Because they are very good.
Paul and Angela are starting a little relationship-y.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Angela and Paul start walking. They go to mandatory movie night together. So adorable.
Yeah, he the first time it was after the guys were teasing her. Two guys dared the other two to go talk to her or something, and they try to talk to her. She didn't say anything. Paul comes over, talks to her. She doesn't respond, but he's still being nice and saying nice things. And when he gets up to leave, he says goodnight, and she says... This part scene is very, very cute because he says good night and she says good night and his face lights up and he's like, good night. And it's like a cute little romance moment.
Yeah.
And, so now that's how that started.
And they have some kisses after the movie. Very adorable.
He stole a kiss.
But Angela abruptly breaks it off and goes away.
Yeah. He stole the first one and then asks for another one. And then she doesn't say anything, which I guess counts as consent to him. And he gives her another little peck, and then she's like, all right, I gotta go. Then...
After campers, Billy and Mike throw water balloons at Angela. What? Billy is stung to death with a mysterious figure traps him in a bathroom stall and drops a high... See, this is what I'm saying. This killer is just so much. It's fantastic. Okay? It's... Say hive of bees in a bathroom stall. That's genius. With a genius level killer. Who even find the murder weapon? We've got the cook's own pot.
Yeah.
Got the lake.
He drowned in the lake, so.
Fantastic. And now we've got a hive of bees. How can you blame Mother Nature? It's just a hive of bees.
Right. So
who the hell's futzing with that to get a print off of it? Nobody.
Nobody. It just looked like bees. He got Thomas Jane. What is anybody going to do about that? Yeah. So, he goes into the bathroom. You see the person. They, like, put the broom handle in there, lock him up in there, and you just see this bee's nest on a stick come through the window, which is hilarious. These bees fucked him up, too. Like,
Are we sure they were bees? Are we sure they were
wasps? They were digging in the skin. It was a lot.
Are we sure they weren't wasps or something? They seemed very aggressive.
Yeah.
Because, like, bees tend to really try not to sting.
I mean, maybe they were, yeah, because they die after, so.
Yeah, whereas these things were going to town. I think they might have been yellow jackets or something. They were assholes.
It was rugged.
I mean, and God bless the killer that they had the fortitude to just fuck with a hornet.
Yeah, went and grabbed one and was like, here you go.
Yeah. Now is when Mel suspects a killer might be on the
loose. Yeah, now he's like, I think something's going on now.
But still,
not going to shut the camp down. Heavens no. We're just going to try to be more aware of there being a killer around.
Is the fire in Jaws. Can't shut it down, guys. Couldn't possibly. The mafia's on Mel's back, too.
Oh, that's funny. And then we get a scene of Paul and Angela running around on the beach. They fall romantically to the ground, and he kisses her, and then Angela all of a sudden has a flashback.
Right.
Which is her dad and the guy and the man that were, the man that was on the shore. And why, again, close your door. Like, they're in their bed, like, together, and Angela and the two kids are peeking in, and they're giggling at what they're looking at. But again, why did you not shut your door? Why are you just, and you hear these kids giggling. I don't understand why you don't hear that and go close the door.
They were in the throes of passion. As we have said in previous episodes, now I've never seen my parents in the throes of passion. But could you imagine seeing your father having an affair with your uncle?
Was that their uncle?
Yes.
When did they say that?
Yeah. That is, yes.
I never got that impression.
I'm almost, oh, okay. I guess maybe they're not. I thought it was.
Oh, no, that'd be too much. That's too much.
because I thought, okay. Doesn't matter what I thought.
No, it's yeah.
Because I thought that was Ricky's father, and that's how she ended up living with them.
He was just a random guy.
But then who is the woman that runs, that, like, comes down to the shore?
That I don't know. I don't know.
Okay. I thought that was Ricky's mom.
Oh, gotcha. No.
Okay.
No, that crazy chick was at home, probably. So we get away from the flashback, and obviously Angela was traumatized, so she pushes Paul off of her and runs away.
Right.
Old bitchy Judy, the next day, she knows that Paul's been talking to Angela.
Who raised this bitch?
Satan himself, I don't know. Like, she's so horrible and awful. And
what did Angela do to you? Nothing.
Literally nothing. Angela does the whole movie is mind her business.
Right.
And Judy just can't let her do that. Like, she's sitting on the side. She don't want to play volleyball, so she's sitting on the side.
The Chris Harden of this movie. Chris couldn't let poor Carrie be, and Judy couldn't let poor Angela be.
Yeah, just for whatever reason. And so Paul comes over to talk to Angela and asks her to forgive him for, you know, kissing her on the beach. And Judy comes over. Oh, and then the other one is the counselor, Judy and Meg. Meg is a bitch, too.
Right.
And she's like, oh, why does Angela get to talk to boys while the rest of us have to play volleyball? So the counselor's like, yeah, that's not fair. So she walks over there and she's like, you can't just sit here and talk to boys. And then the nice female counselor steps in. I was like, leave her alone. So what if she wants to talk to boys? So then for some ridiculous reason. Oh, and then Meg tries to throw her into the water. So then there's a lot of scenes in this where they just build up how awful Judy and Meg are. So at one point she throws
Angela
in the water. Judy's over there running her mouth. Meg comes over, picks Angela up and throws her in the water. And this is where the owner is starting to think that Ricky is the killer.
Right. Because Ricky comforts Angela and then is swearing revenge.
Yes. And this is where that angry counselor calls Meg a peckerhead, which I think is a great insult for a female. I think it's hilarious. Well, he's like, Meg, you're a real peckerhead, you know that?
She is.
She's quite the peckerhead.
She earned that title.
Because, like I said, everybody else in this movie is nice and cares about people. Like,
right.
He's normal. The only people who aren't normal is the chef, the owner, and then Judy and Meg have issues, whatever their issues are. For some reason, Meg is attracted to Mel.
Mel.
The owner of the camp. Which,
I think maybe Mel has money. I don't know.
First of all, he can't have that. He can't have enough money. Like, he could not have enough money.
Well, not for me, not for you, but.
I'm just saying, like, there's no amount of money.
Also, we are also very staunchly not gold diggers, so maybe if we had a gold digger mentality, Mel would have enough money. I don't know.
And generally, I get the gold digger mentality. This man does not look like a mine in which a gold digger should be digging.
Okay.
He looks like a, not somewhere where you're going to find gold. You can dig for days and you're not going to find gold. So it was a weird choice. I don't know why because she runs him down and she's like, hey, I'm off tonight. And she's like, remember that dinner you promised me? And he's like, yeah. And then he's like, come to my cab 9:30. And she's really excited about this. Like, it astounds me every time. He's so disgusting.
There are so many more things I'd be astounded about before it would be going to Mel. I'd be excited to go to my own bed at 9:30
before going to Mel. I go out to the baseball field and just sit on the ground at 9 or 9:30.
Yeah.
Before I went to Mel's cabin.
Correctamundo.
Oh, speaking of the baseball field, there's a very weird baseball game scene, but I love it. It's hilarious because all they're doing is ragging on each other. And the shorts and the crop tops are just in full force. It's all boys. These are all boys I'm talking about with the crop tops and the shorts. And
oh, I knew.
Oh, yeah. I know you know. I'm talking to
the audience. So Meg's excited, but is Meg going to get to see Mel that night? Sorry, Mel.
Up.
Womp, womp.
Meg, the showers are full. Meg decides to go over to the empty cabin to shower. Now, she's standing against what I can only assume is some kind of a curtain. I don't know the layout of this thing. It's very strange. But she gets a knife stuck right in the top of her back. And one would think, hey, let me maybe step forward.
No.
Step away.
And it's Meg. She was about to go have sex with Mel. Are we dealing with a genius here? No. We are not.
That is true. Maybe upon the knife entering her back, she was like, oh my God, I almost went to have sex with Mel. And then she was like, yes, I need to just kill me because I obviously don't deserve to live. But the knife gets dragged down. This is the most normal death.
Most.
Yeah. This is the most slashery death of the whole movie.
Yeah.
It's a simple kill. And then the cold part is the killer rinses the knife off in the shower water.
Yeah.
Which is disrespectful on a certain level. I'd be like, don't wash the knife off with the water that I was using to shower.
That's where you draw the line. Yeah. That's where you draw the line. You can cold blood and murder me.
No, I mean, if I'm saying if it's gonna be murder, like, don't disrespect me and murder me.
One or the other, folks.
Yeah, one or the other.
I don't care, people. Once I'm dead, I really don't care.
I'll come back for you.
I'll come back to haunt your ass regardless. So yeah. You might want to think about the consequences of your actions.
Yeah.
How do you want the haunting to be?
Yeah.
Those are the questions you need to ask yourself.
At this point, Paul is still trying to get back into Angela's good graces.
Yeah.
So she tells him to meet her at the waterfront.
Yes.
And then at this point, one of the counselors has taken a bunch of the kids out to the woods to camp, just randomly. And
not already camping.
Huh? Yeah. So now they're gonna like take sleeping bags, not be in cabins, and be out in the woods for whatever reason. At this point, Mel finds Judy. No, Meg.
Alright.
Mel finds Meg's body and now he's pissed, so he's thinking it's Ricky and he's gonna go find Ricky and handle business. Judy's in her cabin. She just kicked the guy out. Well, the guy left.
Not Eddie Eddie takes two of the campers back, returns to find the other four.
Oh, I was getting to that. Yeah.
Yeah, that happens before.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah,
so he, so that's the... That,
Ruby Seth is my favorite. I'm trying to, like... Charles is my favorite.
The counselor that's out in the woods with the kids, two of the kids wake up in the middle of the night, and they're like, we want to go back. So the counselor takes them back. When he gets back, they are chopped up in the sleeping bags. Like,
three dead people on your property already, good sir. Why are we...
sending kids out.
Yeah, yeah. Leaving them unsupervised. That seems like a bad idea.
Those are the only ones. Those are the only murders where you're just like, damn, like that was out of nowhere for no reason.
I forgot about them for a second. Them, you really don't know. Well, no, these are the kids who threw the sand at Angela and Ricky.
Are you sure? Oh, the ones who were when they were running. Yeah. When Ricky went to rescue her from the water.
Yeah.
And they were, and he's like, fire.
Entirely out of nowhere.
Yeah. Okay. Although
the sand throwing was the weakest of all the crimes that had been committed.
Yeah.
It's not entirely out of nowhere.
Okay. Yeah. Because I did think that it was super random. But he definitely called them fuckers as he walked by. And then that's when he's like, they're going to pay. And right. You're like, oh, all right, Ricky might be a little unstable. Oh, so then, because Frank found all the bodies, he calls the cops, and then they gather all the counselors, and they're like, let's get all the kids in one place. We got to find May. We got to find Judy. Oh, and before this, we only touched the surface of the awfulness of Judy. She had no interest in Paul. So her and Paul had hooked up, or her and Ricky had hooked up last summer at the camp. Apparently, she got boobs over the year, so she thinks she's hot stuff now. She had no interest in Paul until he started talking to Angela. Then all of a sudden, it was all about Paul. She even said in front of Angela before they put her in the water, she's like, oh, you're such a prude. And then she's like, that's the word you used, isn't it, Paul? And Paul was like, well, that's that. And he just walked away.
Yeah.
Rather than telling Judy to fuck off.
Right.
So she's just snotty, just a whole, just.
She's rude from the jump.
What?
She's just a class A bitch from the second poor Angela arrives on the scene.
Just trash.
Yeah.
And you know she's a hoe. And she accuses Angela of being gay because she says she's not showering when the rest of us shower. She throws a pillow at her. For no reason. She does get slapped in the face. No, Meg gets slapped in the face by the other counselor. That was great. So in the midst of all of this, when everyone's supposed to be gathered for the movie night or whatever, we find Judy in her cabin with a guy.
Yep.
Guy leaves. Judy's sitting there reading her magazine in the dark because she doesn't want to be forced to go hang out with everybody. You can take it from here.
And that's fantastic. For some reason, Judy, at the end of the night, has her curling iron plugged in. I guess she had left it on after primping for her. Well, let's call it a date.
She was curling her hair and then put it down, didn't turn it off, didn't unplug it.
Right. And the killer enters and uses that curling iron to kill Judy. And you're going to say, Alicia, how did she do that? Well, you're going to go around calling a person a prude whilst being a slut, Judy. Assume they're going to burn you from the inside out. That you're going to get killed in a fashion. If you're being a hoe,
you're
going to get killed like a hoe with a curling iron.
Oh, it's so bad.
So bad. So bad. I didn't curl my hair for a year after seeing that. I will say, too, in defense of Judy, I am the worst about turning off my curling iron. So, a killer could get me this way because thankfully I have Edward. And he's always double checking. Well, he can always smell my little pieces of burnt hair on it.
Oh.
It happens.
Yeah, I love they put the pillow over her face.
Right.
And then, they don't show it. You can only, because every time I watch it, that's just exactly where my mind goes. It's like, oh, yeah. She got that curling iron.
It's brilliant in the fact that you don't really know that that's what's happening. And I believe that the smothering plays a huge part in her actual death. But just imagine dying slowly from smothering while somebody's got a hot curling iron. Even if it was just to your skin alone, forget about your badge, it would be very upsetting.
Oh, but and the way they do it, like I said, it's not like they don't show, they show a shadow on the wall and then a hand with the curling iron coming down slowly. So they don't even make it look like it's like doing anything. It's literally, but for some reason, that's where your imagination goes immediately. And her hands go up. You see the shadow of her hands going up. And I'm like, why are you not grabbing the person that's killing you?
Right.
Why would you not grab it? Why are you?
And it's Judy. She ain't a genius.
Throwing your hands in the air.
Yeah.
Doesn't make any sense. Judy's done. And her vagina's been seared by a curling iron. That's so horrible.
So at this point, the camp is in a panic. Mel finds Meg's body. And now he's after Ricky.
He's going to rage. And a rage.
That was his underage that was taken from him.
I'm hoping she was at least 18.
As a counselor. What we're praying?
Yes. Because she was a counselor. I can't. We don't need more than one pedophile.
So we're praying she was at least 18 because most camp counselors I know are 15, 16,
17. All the ones I knew were, you had to be at least 18.
Okay.
Yeah.
Significantly different camps. Moving on. I mean, there definitely were counselors that old as well. I don't know. Something about Meg's cruelness.
Like I said, just for my own peace of mind, since they never say it.
I'm going to take Jen's peace of mind.
Yeah. Was I'm going to say she was 18, and that's fine with me.
To me, 18 is still too young, though, but moving on.
I mean, but at least she's illegally an adult who can make her own decisions. Younger than that is just gross. So he finds Ricky and throws Ricky to the ground. Ricky has no idea why he's angry at him. We see him beating Ricky up. And as he's beating Ricky up, so he thinks that he's killed Ricky. He gets up to run. He goes to the archery field where he sees someone. We see the killer, the back of the killer. And he goes, "It can't be you." And then all of a sudden you just see an arrow straight through his neck.
I mean, that's a way to go.
Yeah.
Straight through.
Just.
I mean, talk about precision. Somebody really paid attention in archery. So there's that.
Just right through the neck. That seems like a slow death. Slow and painful. And then the good counselor and the cop are going around looking for whoever, for the killer or whoever. They find Ricky. So for a minute, I do not remember Ricky dying because I was going to be upset. But they find him and he's alive. So they're carrying him back to the main camp. Meanwhile, the nice female counselor and the other guy are out making sure all the kids are... They're looking for Angela and Paul.
Mm-hmm.
And oh boy, do they find Angela and Paul.
Oh, yeah. They do. They do find Angela and Paul. So they're both
naked. She told Paul to take his clothes off, and he was really excited about that. And so you see his body lying here, and she's like, he's got his head in her lap and she's humming a song. And this is when they flash back to the aunt. She's talking to one of the surviving kids from the accident. And she's saying how, I've always wanted a little girl. But when my husband died, and then she's like, oh, yes, we already have a boy. So we don't need another one of those. So, and it pans around and you see that the kid that survived was the son.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, oh, Angela, that's such a good name. It means angel. And then she says, it'll be okay. You like that name, Angela, don't you, Peter? And then, it's like, dun, dun, dun.
Right.
It's the son. So she took the little boy and raised him as her daughter. Crazy woman.
Psycho.
Yeah. And we get back to the camp, back to present. And we see that Paul has been beheaded.
Yes.
Paul had his head chopped clean off. And now Angela's standing there.
Deserve it.
What?
Paul, I...
No, he didn't deserve it.
I had said before that everyone who got deserved it. Paul does not.
No.
Paul was wrapped up in poor Judy's bullshit and never got a chance to explain to Angela.
Yeah. So from Angela's point of view, she did see him kissing Judy at one point. So I guess that's why she felt he deserved to die. We disagree. Don't think it was that serious. But apparently, Angela thought that was enough to get beheaded. And then comes one of the most classic ending scenes of all time in horror. And you just see Angela standing there with this wild, crazy look in her eyes. Her hair is ridiculous. And it pans out slowly. And you just see full-on penis.
A lot of penis.
And you're just like, what the hell did I just watch? I remember the face that she made haunted me for a minute. Like, it creeped me out very much.
Yeah. And I do love that we don't know Ronnie and Susan's fate. I do believe, though, that they were probably okay simply because they had done nothing.
Yeah. At that point, I'm sure they stopped her. Like, they can take her down. She was only able to kill people unexpectedly.
Yeah.
So. Which, I didn't say after that. But yeah, so that's Sleepaway Camp in a nutshell, which I can watch that movie over and over again.
Right. I was going to say, this is a 10 out of 10 for me.
Yeah.
Kills are fantastic. Everything is just great.
It's, again, the special effects are great. It's my favorite to watch it with people who haven't seen it yet.
Yes.
Because your face is always just like, what the hell? I saw it for the first time. Actually, it's funny because my other friend, Aaron, showed me Sleepaway Camp for the first time. And then today I showed me and Alicia's friend, Aaron, Sleepaway Camp for the first time. So it's full circle.
Full circle.
Full circle. And then I bought Shudder just to show my dad Sleepaway Camp.
That's fantastic.
Because it was on Shudder and I was like, I need to pay for this for at least a month just to show my dad. And there are sequels to this, which I enjoy also.
I'm not entirely sure that I've seen the sequel.
There's like three of them. There's Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3.
Nice.
I think there's a 4. 2 is pretty good. 2 stars Emilio Estevez and Charlie Sheen's sister, Renee Estevez, who was also in Intruder.
Okay.
That one is definitely worth seeing. I don't know if they're streaming anywhere. This Sleepaway Camp right now is streaming on Roku channel. It was on Shudder for a long time.
So apparently there are 6.
What?
Sleepaway Camp.
Wow.
Sleepaway Camp 2 and 3. Those were all in the 80s. 83, 88, 89.
Yeah.
Then in 2008, because we have no new ideas, turn to Sleepaway Camp. Sleepaway Camp 5, The Survivor, and Sleepaway Camp Reunion.
Wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
I want to see them just for the sake of seeing them, but I feel like they're going to be awful.
Oh, I'm sure they are.
Like I said, the second one and the third one are definitely worth watching.
I love that in the second one's cover picture, there is a Jason mask and a Freddy hand.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is just quite hysterical. I do love that. It's subtitled Unhappy Campers.
Yep. Yeah.
So that I think I might watch. Where did you say that one was streaming?
Let me see.
You didn't? No,
I didn't look it up. I was looking up Sleepaway Camp, the first one. Oh, Sleepaway Camp is on
Hoopla.
Oh, Peacock.
Tubi, Redbox, Pluto.
Or 2?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Tubi, Pluto.
Same with 3.
Sweet.
4 is not, and neither is Return to Sleepaway Camp.
Yeah.
Darn it!
I totally would have watched the other one.
Kind of just want to see who's in Return to Sleepaway Camp.
But, yes. Sleepaway Camp is definitely a 10 out of 10. I knew we were eventually going to do this movie because there's no way we can have a horror podcast and not talk about Sleepaway Camp.
Oh, wait, hold on. So, apparently, in Return to Sleepaway Camp, Ronnie is now one of the owners.
Oh.
Or a person named Ronnie.
Yeah, I don't think there's a Ronnie from the first one.
Wait, is it?
What? Ricky is the...
Not Ricky. Second. What was the nice camper's name? The nice... Oh, sure.
The counselor?
Ronnie and Susie. Ronnie is the nice counselor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I was almost positive. I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure. So I believe that's why it's returned to Sleepaway Camp. Ronnie is now the owner, and they say he keeps having flashbacks.
Got it.
Brianna can't shake the memory of a series of grisly murders that took place at Camp Ararat.
Got it. That's cool.
Because it's a different camp.
Yeah.
That Ronnie's at.
Oh, okay.
Not Camp Arawak.
It's interesting that he would even want to get back into the camp industry.
Yeah. See, now I'm kind of... See, it's little things like that that sometimes make a remake or a reboot like that worth watching. You're like, why would Ronnie even put himself through this?
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, darn it. Now I wish it was streaming somewhere.
I know. Now I'm like, dang it, I want to see it. I got to see the third and the fourth. I mean, the fourth one. I got my brother into Sleepaway Camp, and he was like so down to watch part two. Like, we love those movies. They're awesome. We do. We have a fantasy football league for Shudder horror fans, and I named my team Sleepaway Champs.
Nice.
All the names have to be horror related, so that was mine. Apparently, Brent had it too. What?
I did not join the team because I did not want to bring the team down.
What?
There was a fantasy cheerleading group. I would have been on that.
What?
I would cheer you guys on. Listen, I can't even tell you. Patrick Mahomes, is he a player?
Yes, he's a quarterback.
Great. I've named one player. Any player that I believe I could name have been retired for a while. Elway, Namath, both of the brothers, the Manning brothers.
Yeah, I was going to say
Brady, but he retired.
I think Tom Brady's back.
Who's he, Eminem? Because
yeah.
He's back.
Yeah, he keeps...
Nobody needed that, Brady.
He keeps threatening to retire, and then...
Who was the other one who did that? Because there was another one.
I don't remember.
He came back like four times.
And you're like, sir, just stop.
Just stop retiring.
Just stop making a big deal out of it and just don't show up and then we won't get our hopes up.
So, but yeah, football is not really my sport. I don't understand how fantasy football works. I would never remember who to bench and who to play. I would never.
The beauty of it is you don't have to actually. I won only playing for my third time. I won the whole season. So.
When I tell you I don't even know how many people... To put on a field at a time, I know I need a quarterback, at least a wide receiver, a running back, a lineman. Yeah. The kicker stays unless you need him.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a wide receiver?
Yes. It tells you what positions you have to fill. Like, you don't have to just throw people. No, you have a certain bench. Yeah.
That makes it a little easier. Okay.
Yeah. No, you have, there are positions that you can, and you can only put those people in those positions.
Oh, okay, so I couldn't, like, accidentally put a quarterback in a receiver. Oh, okay, that does make it a little easier.
Absolutely.
You're like, all of a sudden, Manning be receiving, people would be like, I don't know what's happening on Alicia's team.
Alicia's got 500 points for one game, how? Because she put in five quarterbacks.
I mean, I failed to see the problem, honestly. I remember one day is Ed going, shit. And I go, what? He goes, my quarterback got injured yesterday. And I'm like, okay. He's like, I forgot to put in my substitute. So, like, he had no quarterback.
Yeah, that happens. And it's irritating.
That would be me every week. Okay. Unless my entire team... somehow magically always play. I'd forget.
My dad plays and only plays Raiders. Like, he, so on his bye weeks, he only drafts Raiders. One, he loves to draft Patrick Mahomes because he drafted him when he started and he blew up, and so he loves it that if that's like his quarterback. And then after that, he only drafts Raiders and he doesn't change them out, and then they have a bye week and he gets like no points that week. I'm like, Dad, why do you keep paying to play this? You're not even really playing. He just likes that he's known to lose, and then he gets, like, 1 or 2 weeks where he beats someone, and he takes pride in those 2 weeks because he's just destroyed the morale of someone else. That's the only reason why he likes to play. It's ridiculous.
I love it. That's Sleepaway Camp, guys.
Yeah.
Next week, like we said, we're doing finals, girls, which, by the way, go warn you, Alicia might cry. You've seen it, right, Jen?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I might cry and...
Like, during the podcast or just watching the movie?
Oh, I sobbed all day watching the movie, so I can only imagine what's going to happen next week, but we'll be okay. We'll get through it as a team, folks. There was some very emotional moments in this movie, and that's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Check it out.
Excellent cast. Check it out if you haven't. Catch it with us next week. Yes. I love Malin so much. She's
great. Girls. Malin Ackerman is one of my favorites.
Yeah, she's fantastic.
Vera Farmiga's sister. What is her name? I know she has her own name.
She's the witch. She's from Coven and stuff.
Yeah.
Well, she's actually from her. She's from a lot of AHS's.
Yeah, she's like in all of them almost.
Tassia.
Yeah, there you go.
It's Tassia Malin. Nina Dobrev is in it. As far as the boys, Thomas Middlemish. I mean, it's just a great cast. It's just a fun cast. It's a great cast. It's a fun watch. And I think we'll have a lot of enjoyment talking about it.
For sure. Yeah. So go check out Final Girls. See what happens. Our lives are starting to change around a bit. So hopefully we can get it out to you on time.
Yes. I am moving. So we're going to do our dance. It's really my move. You know what? Guys, life is coming up. Alicia is moving. We're going to try to get this out to you on time. And then we're going to take a hiatus until I'm settled in Texas. And then, depending on my new job in Texas and where we're at, our schedule might change. We might only be able to do 2 a month. We're going to see what happens. We're going to try to still be here for you. We appreciate your patience. And
all good things happening for us. So
all good things.
All good, fun, cool things. So,
but also also a little stressful.
Yeah. Good, fun things, but all hard.
Guys, we'll I own too many books. God. And if you guys had seen the amount of books I purged, you'd be like, and these are the books I'm not getting rid of. So there's that.
Yeah.
Got it in a box.
So yes, once we are through, it's a tunnel we're going through. Once we get through the other side, it's all good things. So, but we're going to try to keep on schedule, but bear with us if something gets posted late. Like for instance, last week we didn't post till Sunday. So we're doing our best. But we'll let you, if for some reason it looks like we're not going to be recording for a while before we expect, we will at least come back on to let you guys know what's going on. So, yeah, that's it. That's all for now. You know where to find us. Horrorinheels at Gmail. Horrorinheels on Instagram. Drop us a line. Say hello. Let us know you're out there. We will talk to you guys later.
Bye.
Bye.